this life cause, you know, problems, and our worlds are shaken, are we going to continue to stand? And that's the idea here. We've used different illustrations. I got another illustration here. I thought this picture was pretty cool. You see, there's one little house here, and you see all this open ground. And I'll tell you about this. It's Warren and Pam Adams live in Gilchrist, Tennessee. In 2005, Hurricane Rita swept through the southeast Texas and destroyed their home. So when they rebuilt it, they reinforced the foundation heavily. 14-foot support beams were installed to lift the home 22 feet above normal sea level in the event of another hurricane came. Less than 3 years later, Hurricane Ike hit in 2008. Everything within miles of the Adams home was flattened except the Adams home. There it stood, intact amidst the destruction, a witness to the importance of what has been built below the baseline. The Adams home prepared in ways that others did not. They chose to build their foundation deeper than the families around them, and no doubt there were expenses involved that those around them did not incur. But when the storm came, this made all the difference. So you see that, and there was houses, and there used to be houses all the way up here and through here. And it was just this one house that remained standing. He said, that's not true. Well, that was, I think it was in U.S. News and Report. So it was, they had taken the picture there, and I looked it up a little bit according as much as I could, that's what happened. Now, inside their house, there was a little bit, some of the stuff was not able to be used still. So I don't want to give you an idea. Everything was perfect. But the idea was that the foundation was built strong, and it was able to hold and stay. And that's the same thing when it comes to our Christian lives. Storms are going to happen. Problems are going to happen. It's whether or not we are going to stand strong below the baseline and have the foundation built right. This lesson, we're going to learn about another aspect of the Christian life. It's filled below the baseline. And I know you say, Pastor, we talked about the Holy Spirit already this year. The Holy Spirit is such an important part of our lives. You know, when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, everything changes. Now, here's the problem. Most people don't like, pretty much, no one likes to be controlled or have something else controlling their lives. We have an innate desire to control our own lives and to do our own destinies. And that's different than what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us when we're filled with the Spirit of God means that we give him control. We give him say in our lives. We let him determine what we're going to do instead of what our flesh is telling us to do. And yet we don't always have control over circumstances. God is telling us those things that we do have control over, he wants us to say, Lord, you can have them all. There are things that happen in our lives that we don't have control over. There's things that happen in our lives that we turn around and say, well, that's something I can't. I'm going to have to trust in God. Trusting in God means that we're going to trust him in every area of life. Often storms and troubles will come up our way that we wish that we could stop. It's at these points that it's revealed whether or not we've been building lives that are yielded to the Holy Spirit below the baseline. Now, one of the greatest gifts we have is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that we are sealed, meaning that the Holy Spirit has sealed us. He is our earnest of inheritance. And although we've been given the Holy Spirit and he will never leave us, it is our responsibility to whether we're going to surrender to him or not surrender. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside every Christian, but the question is whether or not we are going to yield to him. And these are, in this passage of scripture, I see three different things I think that can help us. Let's look here in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15, go down to verse 21. The Bible says, see ye then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Lord, I pray you help us. I know that all of us have different things that are a lot in our lives that we're going through. I know there's many things that we like to change or replace. People we like to see here even today. People's lives we like to see changed. Lord, I pray that as we open up your word, we give that we give special attention to what your word says, knowing that it is your word that changes lives, knowing that it's your word that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, today in this lesson to maybe surrender that area of our lives that we've been struggling with. Maybe to even consider that, am I filled with the Spirit of God, or is this something that I'm doing according to my own ways, my own plans? Lord, if there's any strongholds in our lives, I pray that, Lord, we cast those down, those imaginations, and Lord, we honestly seek to be filled by you. Lord, we understand when we ask you to empty us of ourselves and to fill us with your Spirit, it's a very long and very tough and hard thing for many people to do. Help us, Lord, today to look at this lesson, understand what your word says, and leave today saying, I want to be filled below the baseline. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's three things. First thing I want you to think about is the Spirit-filled path. You know, there is a path that God gives us to be Spirit-filled. And it begins with walking in the Spirit. The Bible says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This word walk, it refers to the way one conducts his daily living. It's referring to one's lifestyle. God wants us to actually walk in the Holy Spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh. Now, this isn't accomplished by just saying, okay, in a moment of decision, I'm going to go forward at the altar and say, I'm going to try to be Spirit-filled, and then we don't leave. Now, we have the Spirit of God residing in us, but if we're going to be walking in the spiritual life and walking in the Spirit, it is rather something we choose and we continue to follow. It's comprised with choice after choice after choice. And in this scripture, if you look at what it says in verse number 15, it begins, see then that you walk circumspectly. This type of path is two different ways. First is a path of caution. It says that we're walking circumspectly. Now, that word circumspectly might not be something we use in our language every single day, but it gives us this understanding of a circumference. It refers to the entire perimeter of being alert or cautious in every direction. A person who's walking circumspectly is less likely to stumble. A person who is walking circumspectly will take every precaution, not only to the things in front of us, but also the things that are behind us. You keep on going. It says that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days were evil. The Spirit-filled path is living our lives circumspectly. It is referring to the fact that we ought to live with the awareness that a spiritual hurricane, in a sense, or a spiritual storm can come at any moment. God wants us to walk prepared for these storms by walking circumspectly and walking with caution. I wonder how many of us really walk in our Christian lives trying to be Spirit-filled and say, okay, I need to be cautious here. I need to check this. I need to try the spirits. I need to prove that which is good, prove which that is right, and look at these things and say, is this something that I am being cautious in my walk with the Lord? I don't want anything that's going to get involved in stopping the leadership of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have a real enemy. That real enemy is the devil. And that real enemy we have lurks nearby. He seeks for opportunities to where he can devour us and destroy us. I was talking to someone today, this past week, a good Christian, somebody that is really loves the Lord. And they were going through something. And I says, look, it is a spiritual battle. The devil knows what's going to hurt you and what's going to affect you. And that's why the Bible tells us to be sober about these things. It is not a game when it comes to our lives. The Bible tells us to walk circumspectly. It tells us that a spirit-filled path is a path of caution. It tells us redeeming the time because the days are evil. That there is things that we need to be careful about. And he even says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom they may devour. Now, lions, lots of people, when they go to the zoo for kids, they want to see two things, maybe three. One thing they want to see is the monkeys, because I think they associate mostly with the monkeys, because they're fun-loving, like to do things, you know, they're silly. Another thing they want to see is the lions, because they're powerful, and the roar that's there. And, you know, some people like the giraffes because they got big necks. I don't know. Lions, we want to see the lions. And lions are really cool to look at, but lions are predators. They kill things and eat them. A lion's favorite meal is an antelope. Now, here's one of the reasons why. It's two things that help a lion in its hunt for its next meal. First of all, they are incredibly good at hiding. And also, they are very, very patient. there is another advantage a lion has when hunting antelope. Even though lions are very intelligent, antelopes may be physically fast, but they are mentally challenged. They do not learn from their past mistakes. Though an antelope may have been killed out of a herd just hours before, that same herd of antelopes will return to the same watering hole. If you go look it up, the antelopes will go back to that same hole just because they don't see the lion again. So how does that apply to us? Well, the devil's just like that. He's extremely good at hiding. He's extremely good at patient. He's not used to us. He's not going to advertise to us, hey, this is me over here. I'm the devil. And you know what? Many times, even though we see the devil wreck and ruin someone else's life with certain sins, just like those antelopes, we go back to the water. We go back to the exact same sins and we have the exact same problems and we're devoured just like everybody else. And it's, yes, mentally challenged, spiritually challenged. So when we don't walk circumspectly, yes. It's like, I mean, how many of us have seen Christians and you're like, don't you see what this is doing to you? We see it. We see what's going on here. Don't you remember this happened to so-and-so and this happened? But the devil has convinced us it's not going to happen to us. We think we're stronger. Like I said, if you go back and you listen to those stories, like the stories of Lots and the stories of Judas, none of that stuff's going to affect me. I got this. The spirit-filled path is a path of caution. We ought to always be on the lookout for the disguise of the enemy. The enemy is very good, and yes, many times we are simple because we have not filled ourselves with the wisdom of the Word of God for the trap that lurks behind a seemingly innocent matter. And that's why he tells us to walk circumspectly. That's why he tells us to make sure that we are sober and vigilant, because there's so many of us that fall to the same trap. Next thing is, it's a path of consecration. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You say, Pastor, what does that have with consecration? Well, in the Bible, it talks about what the will of the Lord is. And even down here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So if it's a path of caution, it's a path of consecration too. It's a path that we need to live consecrated, separated, sanctified lives. We live in a world where it promotes the living to go as close to sin as we can, you know, mess with it as much as we can. And we live in a very dangerous time because there's churches out there that flaunt this. There's churches out there that tell you to go as close as you can to the world, go as close as you can to the devil, get as close as you can with sin. But God tells us to get away from the danger. God tells us how to keep our vessels, that he expects us to keep our vessels under control. Boundaries need to be set. Decisions need to be made and enforced. If we're going to be for sanctification and for honor, we must be against the things that hinder our testimony and pulls us from a consecrated living. How do we understand the will of the Lord? The Bible teaches us that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oswald Chambers put it this way, a walk in the Spirit will of necessity be a walk according with the word that is inspired, that inspired the word. No one can be filled with the Spirit by neglecting the Word of God. And the spiritual path is not a carnal path. It is something that we must understand, that God has given us this vessel, our bodies. It is God's will that we possess purity from sin. This is our sanctification or our consecration of our Spirit-filled path. It is something that sets us apart. This idea of consecration. And I like this definition. I think I put it up there. It's a separating from a common to a sacred use. When we got saved, God has separated us, and no longer were we living for ourselves, no longer were we living for the devil, no longer were we doing that was our purpose before. But now we've been separated, sanctified. No longer are we for a common purpose. We have a sacred use, and that use is to glorify God with our bodies and to glorify God with our lives. And so no longer we've been sanctified, we've been set apart. So because of that, we're not supposed to have a pathway that's led by ourselves. It's a spirit-filled path. It's one of caution. It's one of consecration. And here it's talking about the truth. It's not all about, you say, Pastor, here you go again, talking about being separated, talking about being, there's a purpose for your life. There's a plan. It's saying here that you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And there's a purpose for this. The path of caution and the path of consecration is not just something we tell our kids to try to keep them looking right and doing right. It's for a purpose. There's a plan. Look what it says here in the next verse. It says in verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So there is a purpose that's caused here. It's not simply that we are to be kept from danger and free from sin. It's because we can be filled with and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. There is a determined purpose. You say a determined purpose. You see that it says, and be not drunk with wine. There is a determined thing that's being said here. There's something that we should not allow us to take us away from being filled with the Spirit of God. If we are filled with anything else, we cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. If we are to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, we will have to disallow anything else that would bring us into its control. If we are truly want to be filled with the Spirit of God, and I know we spent a lot of time looking at the Spirit of God this past year, and I pray those lessons helped you. I know they helped me. If I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God, I cannot be filled with anything else. If I'm going to be filled below the baseline, I cannot be filled with, and they give the example here of alcohol, but this is for anything. I cannot be filled with wrath. I cannot be filled with bitterness. I cannot be filled with envy. I cannot be filled with jealousy. I cannot be filled with bad thoughts. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, I cannot be filled with anything else. Now, I think the book of Proverbs, and I don't want to get too long into a rabbit trail, but I think the book of Proverbs in chapter 23 talks a lot about what's wrong with alcohol and what's wrong with liquor and what's wrong with strong drink and things like that. I do not promote that in any way, shape, or form. I like Vance Havner. He was the one that made this saying famous. He says, I'm tired of hearing sin called sickness and alcoholism as a disease. It's the only disease I know that we are spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to spread. And so many times, it's a disease. You know, why are we spreading it? Why are we paying? Why are people paying to receive it? You know, I think it's something wrong. I think it's something that's important that we fight against. The command here against drunkenness is direct, and we should not take it for face value. It's used as a comparison. The same thing with, and like I've told you these stories before, I've seen many a person drunk. When I was in Bible college, worked overnight, managing the drugstore or the pharmacy, whatever you want to call it, and lots of people came in intoxicated. Sometimes on Monday morning, they would come in and get their stuff on the way to work. They sweet, nice, kind, normal people. But under the control of alcohol, they were completely different. And it's the same principle that's here and the same comparison. I don't think God makes mistakes. When he says, be not drunk with wine, he's saying if you let the Holy Spirit of God guide you and lead you, you will be able no longer under your control. No longer will you be recognizable. We're going to act one way under the flesh and we're going to act another way under the Spirit of God. And it said, who are you? What have you done with my husband? What have you done with my wife? You know, things like that. And that's sometimes because we become so fleshly, but other times when we let God do a work in our hearts. So not only is it a determined purpose, it's something that we're saying, okay, I'm determined. I'm not going to let something else fill me. Instead, I'm going to yield. It's a yield of purpose. I'm going to yield my body as a way that can be filled with the Spirit of God. And the Bible says we have that choice. You say, Pastor, how can I have that choice? It says right here, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. And this is truth here. Too many people say, we make excuses. We make excuses for our family. We make excuses for our sons and our daughters, sometimes our parents, our coworkers, and things like that. But if they know the truth and they understand the truth, especially if they'll have the Holy Spirit of God in their mind, it can be a determined purpose in their heart. And they can say, you know what? This is my instruments, my body. I have a choice. These are members of my instrument that God has given me, and I'm going to yield it, not to sin, but instead I'm going to yield it to God. As you saw earlier, you know, it's God has given us, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor. God has given us this body, given us these members, and now he's saying, let's yield it. Now, is that easy to do? No. If it was easy to do, we would all be spirit-filled. Can we do it's the question. Can we expect that from ourselves? Can we expect it from those that we love? Remember, it's a spiritual battle. And we like to say, no, it's because of the world, it's because of the culture. Yes, the devil makes it harder. The devil makes it tougher. The devil, I agree with all that, but it is a determined mind and with a yielded body that can have the spirit-filled purpose. Let's look at the next thing here. The spirit-filled product. And this is probably what we're spending most of our time with, at least the rest of the time with. I guess there's a little slide I put in here. Possesses the Holy Spirit or possessed of the Holy Spirit. So there's a difference here. One person that actually has the Holy Spirit of God, that's all Christians, versus the person who is possessed, filled, controlled by. Far too many Christians have the Holy Spirit living within them, but they are so carnally minded that the Spirit has no control in their lives. This Christian will never experience the power of God being demonstrated in them because they have not chosen to yield to the filling of the Holy Spirit. So here's the difference. It's two completely different things. One person, which would clarify every person that's a Christian, they have the Holy Spirit of God as a possession. Now, does the Holy Spirit of God have you? Are we possessed by it? Are we spirit-filled by it? Is this something that we are desiring to have? And we empty ourselves up. And because we become so carnally minded, so worldly minded, that the Spirit has no control in our lives. And this is what most Christians are at. This is not what we're looking to be. The Spirit, you say, okay, Pastor, what's the Spirit-filled product? It's what produced when inside the Spirit-filled life. The last three verses here, let's look here. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I believe that's the product of joy. You can see it is a product of joy. Next one in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is a product of gratitude. And I believe a spirit-filled person will be a thankful person. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That is a product of cooperation. And I believe someone who is spirit-filled will want to work together with others. When we are filled with the Spirit, there is going to be a different product that the Holy Spirit produces. Remember this when we looked at the Spirit of God and talked about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And here it is. This is the products that, and we really do want to be more peaceful. We really do want to have more joy. We really do want to have more faith. Where does that come from? It comes from being spirit-filled. He's the one that has to produce this in there. We can't grab a hold and say, man, I want to be more joyful. And we try to force ourselves to be more joyful. When the storms of life come, we need to be filled below the baseline, because even when the storms come, we can have joy. We think about the story of Paul and Silas in the prison cell. You know, to be able to have joy in experiences like that has to be supernatural. It's easy to sing songs when things are going well. It's easy to make melody in our heart when there is no problems and there's no storms. But when there's storms of life and we still have that spirit of joy, and that joy does not rest in our circumstances. Instead, our joy rests in Jesus Christ. It is supernatural. Look what it says in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish you one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about producing some fake joy. We go through hardships. We go through hard times. You read the Psalms and you see the Psalms. You see sometimes a man who's discouraged, sometimes a man who's seeking, but then you also see the explanation of the joy that's found, the help that God has given. And I know sometimes we go through hard times, and I'm not saying we should put on a fake smile and go around and pretend like there's nothing wrong. We should even try to encourage and help one another's burdens. But if we are spirit-filled Christians, we're going to rejoice in the Lord. We always have a reason to be rejoicing. We always have a reason to have joy, and that is a supernatural joy. Just as Paul and Silas were beaten and in prison, and in their darkest hours, they could still sing joy and praises. The saddest Christians are ones that are filled with their own agendas, but the happiest Christians are the ones that are fully yielded to the Holy Spirit, and we've seen this expressed And oftentimes it is expressed in song. You see here what it says in verse number 19. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Here in Colossians 3:16, when the word of Christ will dwell you richly, teaching and admonishing another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it has something to do with just wanting to praise him and sing for him. Grace is a disposition that is created by the Holy Spirit of God. It's grace that allows us to love. It is grace that carries us through difficult times. It's the manifestation of grace that we will sing and make melody to the Lord. The Bible talks about how the Lord put a new song in our heart in Psalm chapter 40. He says, and he had put a new song in my mouth, even the praise unto God. And when we got saved, God put a song in our heart. I think it's important and interesting during song times when we see people singing. You know, I love going to churches when I hear people singing, I guess praising the Lord. And sometimes it really isn't that great of singing. Sometimes it's off key. It doesn't matter to me. This past week at our senior luncheon, Mr. Greger and Mrs. Greger were out of town, and Mr. Greger usually is our song leader. Andrew, for the first time, got up and tried to lead some singing, but he was kind of quiet about it. So I encouraged the people. I said, okay, let's sing out and try to encourage them. And they all started to sing out a little bit louder. To be honest with you, it was a joyful noise, but that's what it was. It was a joyful noise. And once again, a song leader does lead the singing and puts a tempo in it. It does a good job. And, you know, if one person's on key, you're following the person that's on key, and the other person could really hear Andrew that well, as loud. And so I'm not picking on Andrew, but it was nice to hear them sing out. It was nice to go from a really soft, and we encourage, and they sing louder, is because they had something in their heart. And one of the greatest distinctions of Christianity, I think, from this verse and this verse here, can talk about the song that's in our heart. We should be able to encourage people with music. I enjoy singing. I remember, I'm sure I told you this before, I used to sing when I came to work. I would sing going in the lobby, and then one day I learned that the cameras upstairs had a microphone. And so I Miss Debbie Cox was sitting there. I said to her, is that microphone always on? She says, yes. I said, so every morning when I come in and I'm singing, she's like, yes, I can hear you. I says, I'm sorry. So but there is something that's in our hearts when there's a melody there. And that's what it says here. It's going to be a product of joy. When we are spirit-filled and we're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns, and I know what you're going to say. It says speaking to yourselves. And I understand what you're going to say. You got a song in your heart. But also up here it says, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. I don't know about you, but when you have somebody there singing to the best of their ability because they love the Lord, it's contagious. Other people want to sing. Other people want to sing out and enjoy hearing the songs. Now, once again, it can't just come from the people behind the pulpit. It can't come just from the choir. We need the people out there to sing out because it's going to encourage those. They lead it, but they also, at the same time, we need to hear the other ones encouraging one another. Next thing is a product of gratitude. And, you know, the Bible says, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. We talked about the will of God being that consecration. But in here, it says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gratitude is one of the evidences that the Holy Spirit of God's working in your life. This gratitude is to always be directed to the Father. I don't know about you, but we have a lot of blessings in this world. We really do. And, you know, if 98% of our life is going good and going well and 2% is bad, you know what we usually hear about? The 2%. That's what we focus on. And I understand that because that's the part we want to change. But the Bible tells us here, it's the will of God that we give thanks. And I think gratitude is one of those evidences. Are you spirit-filled? Is it shown through our singing or a manifestation in our heart having melody? Another manifestation is filled with the Spirit is a gratitude that comes from their life. A spirit-filled Christian will get thanks always for all things. Looking into our own lives, what do we grumble about? What is it that we complain about? And once again, I know requests, prayer requests, but I'm talking about those that are complaining, those that are unhappy, willing to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit of God to the situations that they're in. Situations are difficult. Situations are hard. And I agree with that. But it's how do we respond to this? I think we can have a product of joy and as a product of gratitude. Lord, I'm thankful for all the things that are going well. Lord, I'm casting this care upon you. Lord, I'm not anxious about it. I'm not worried about it. Is that easy to do? No, it's hard to do, especially when the things are really tough and things are really hard. You find a lump on your neck and you don't know what it is, or someone says they don't love you anymore, or when someone hurts you. There are times, but the Bible says that we can find something to be thankful for. And this is God's will for our lives. Not to have the complaining, not to have always, but having a product of joy and a product of gratitude. Next one is a product of cooperation. Look what it says in verse 21. It's the last verse we'll look at. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Everyone likes cooperative people. I mean, don't we all like to have people that we're working with be cooperative? Not everybody wants to be a cooperative person, though. Everyone likes to be around cooperative people. Everyone likes people that is easy to work with. And when you're working, you got a job to do. When someone's willing to follow along and do something to make the job easier, people like that. I mean, it makes life easier when you're trying to hand something down a line, when someone is being cooperative and doing what's the best overall thing for the team. But not everyone likes to be a cooperative person. When we are daily dying to ourselves, and we will have a willingness to serve. We will have a willingness to cooperate with others to help in activities. I do not want to say that we're trying to compromise on sin. I think you all know that I'm against that. But I also think we should have a heart for service where we work together. We'll be willing to relinquish our own rights as the supreme objective. We won't insist on being on the spotlight. We won't be determined that our way is the only way and our way is the best way. Instead, we'll look at it being a servant. Even that we looked at last week on Sunday morning. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Don't you think Jesus knew how to do everything better than everybody else? I mean, he did, but there were times when he allowed people to go ahead and do things and then taught them lessons from that, and they learned from that. Do you have a spirit of cooperation in your relationships? The spirit-filled Christian is a humble Christian. It tells us that this humble position of serving others is because we have a greater respect and adherence to God. Look what it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The spirit-filled Christian's fear of God is displayed by cooperating, working alongside others. All of us would love to have these products in our life: joy, love, faith, this gratitude, this cooperation, and we can, but it's simply yielding ourselves to God. Now, I think we have a good church. I like our church. But our church will not last if we do not build below the baseline. When the things of life come and shake and, in a sense, rock our worlds, you know what's going to happen? We're going to fall if we haven't built below the baseline. But if we build below the baseline, if we take care of the things in the private life, then the joy can come out in the public life. When we take care of things in the private life, then the gratitude can come out in the public life. When we take care of things in the private life, then the cooperation can come out. Just like the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, all those things come not from what we've done, but instead when we are built below the baseline, when we are yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. We have to determine not to let anything or anyone else take that place where the Holy Spirit fill our hearts with anything else. And then we have to say, okay, I'm going to yield my members to righteousness, to good things. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for